Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. After the half hour, we'll be taking questions. 646-716-9663. Today, I'm very inspired by a beautiful couple called Michael and Marty Perry. Welcome, Michael and Marty. Hello, are you there? Wow, we're having assuming a technical difficulty here. Michael and Marty Perry, and you can just get a step ahead by going to www.spiritart.com. So, Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am. Let me go check in the back room.
Okay. Everybody take a deep breath and know that sometimes the greatest things in life are worth waiting for. I'm very impressed by Michael and Marty. They do mediumship in a way that you probably have never experienced before. They, after looking at their website and seeing the incredible things they do, I'm so anxious to share them with you and to talk about how they got to where they are, who they are, and how they do this incredible, incredible mediumship work that they do. So as we're waiting for our engineer to get them back on the line, I want you to put your feet down on the ground, and I want you to get grounded. And from the top of your head to the center of the universe, I want you to become totally connected. Good. And Michael and Marty, are you there?
Hi, Star. Can you hear us?
We can hear you now. I just gave you this long, incredible introduction. Michael and Marty Perry at spiritart.com. And I strongly advise my listeners to go to spiritart.com because you're going to see some amazing things. Tell us what you do.
We both work as mediums. We're married, but we're separate mediums. We just happen to be married.
And we just happen to work at the same time. I don't hear as much as Michael does. He's very good at hearing things, and he relates the messages. I, on the other hand, see very well, and I am also an artist, so I'm able to draw portraits of those people who I see. And they're usually very specific, and we receive a lot of photos later to prove of who I've drawn.
Well, I do see on your website, spiritart.com, that if you hit the portfolio button, you can see, several dozen pictures. And I was blown out of the water. I understand you don't see these pictures before you draw these people.
No, there's no information given.
And I know a first name or a last name, and you just draw these people as they appear on a scale of 1 to 10, like they all match like a 9. How is this possible, Miss Visionary? Do you see that clearly to get the hairstyle right, the glasses right? I'm just blown out of water here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually see... I see very clearly, and I also have a lot of help from the other side. Other artists come through and help me. One artist that helps me quite often is Norman Rockwell. And also I've had the extreme pleasure of having Van Gogh come through and help me.
Oh, my God.
In fact, recently, without my knowing it, because I don't really pay attention that much of who I'm drawing at the time, and I didn't feel who it was, I actually drew his portrait for a woman whose
great uncle
had knew him and actually helped Van Gogh.
Wow,
so
that's pretty interesting. Do you find when you draw when you see the relatives, that there's one or two that particularly stand out that have passed around a person? And is it because they're thinking about them, or is it because they were such characters?
No, it has nothing to do with the person that's coming to see us. We would see them even if the person was not present. You know, we do this over the phone. We do it with people in Australia, South Africa, you know, Europe. So it really has nothing to do with the sitter, whether they're thinking about them or not, because often a person that they weren't even thinking about shows up to have their portrait drawn. So
yeah, I don't know exactly what their criteria is. I, you know, don't ask for a certain person to pose for me. They choose who it is. I've had it happen where one person is posing for me, and then I guess they can't hold their energy or something, and it goes away, so I have to start again, and somebody else will sit with me, and it turns out much better. So also, we've found that if Michael is talking to a certain person on the other side, it's harder for them to do both, you know, because it uses up so much energy to talk to him and pose for me at the same time. It's happened a few times, but it's more rare.
Well, you know, I'm still like at a loss for words when I look at the portrait, the portraits and the pictures, and how they match. Now, you know, you started off by saying, "Oh, you know, we're two mediums and we're married." Man, how do two mediums get married? That must have been a story in itself.
Actually, it's not that much of a story. We were both in the metaphysics, but we weren't working as mediums at the time. And as a matter of fact, Michael, you know, very soon after we got married, really excelled in his mediumship. And I didn't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I was sort of asking every psychic or medium that we ever met, you know, what am I supposed to do? I can hear a little bit, but I don't hear that much. And I got a few messages. Somebody at one church say they saw a spirit giving me a golden paintbrush. So that's, I should be doing my artwork. But it really didn't point me in that direction. It was actually Michael that told me he had known of a spirit artist that used to do this in England years ago named Coral Polge. And he told me I should try it. And it's like, took me a while. It's like, nah, I can't do that. Nah. And finally one day when he was away at work, I sat down and drew a picture of an older man. I think it's in my portfolio there. It took me a while. I wasn't used to doing it. I hadn't drawn in a while and everything. And when Michael came home, he didn't recognize it. So I just put it on the coffee table, and that evening we had a small meditation group, and this one young girl, who actually came a little bit early, went immediately and picked up the picture and said, oh, my God, that's my boss that was murdered a year ago today. And she brought over the picture of him the next day, and it really was him. So the first one being recognized like that made me realize, this is what I should be doing.
Well, I can imagine many of my people sitting out there who have lost pets. Do have pets ever show up for you?
Yeah, I don't usually draw portraits of them, except maybe because I do what this other thing in a private session where I do a page of what I call my doodles, and I have drawn pets on that, and they have been recognized. But Michael gets pets all the time, and he describes. In fact, one time, you want to talk? I'm doing all the talking. That's very unusual for us.
Usually she nags me because I do the talking.
Anyway, one time this woman wanted to do a whole session with her horse. And Michael wasn't, you know, this was years and years ago. Michael wasn't sure, well, I don't know if I can do that. So we did a phone session, and her horse came through loud and clear. I mean, the horse was telling all of the his stallmates' names and his special friends and the special meal that she would make for him for Christmas and that he would share it with all the friends, and even came up with the dog that was the size of a pony, which she told us that, yes, there was a Great Dane that was in the stables. So, animals can deliver messages.
It was
How long have you guys been doing this?
Nearly 20 years.
Wow, you guys look so great in your picture. You don't look like you've been doing this for 20 years.
Are we supposed to look old and worn out then? I feel old and worn out.
You're both very vital. Your eyes are very intense. And I imagine if I was a client and I was working with you that the level of intensity going on in the session must be a very, very perceptible. And people must feel this this dynamic coupling that you have with the vision and the auditory senses, so they get a lot of information. So
yeah, I should stock up on smelling salts, I suppose, really.
How did you come to know this was your life's work? How did you decide that this is what you're going to do and be? How did this come about?
Well, I never...
I think that it was decided for us, really.
It was really decided for me. Years ago, I saw a medium, and he said to me one day, you know, your life's not your own, don't you? And I thought about that, and I thought, well, I don't really know what he meant by that. But then he told me that later on in life I would become extremely psychic, and I would do this, and I would do that, and I was never an adventurous person, so I'd never gone outside of England. I'd never been on a plane till I was 30. I didn't drive a car till I was 27. So for him to tell me I was going to come and live in America and I'd do this and I'd do that, not that I didn't believe him, I just couldn't see how that was possible. And
tell us how your work sort of decided.
Well, yeah. Well, there was a lot of things that just happened, one thing after another, and I would hear a voice periodically tell me, stop doing what you're doing and do this, and I resisted it. I was a bit like a tool-time Tim. I liked building construction work. You know, I enjoyed my work, and I was the guy that would walk down, you know, the tool aisle and drool, you know. So when they kept telling me to do this, I just thought, well, I can't see how I do that. How do I do that? I have no idea, you know. And so they just made my work harder and harder and harder until in the end I just said, oh, to heck with it. All right. I'll do this. I'll try it. So I just came home one day and I said to Marty, I just quit. We're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to do it, but this is what they want us to do.
And it was very funny because all of a sudden our income went way, way down. And for some reason, we were able to exist and actually save some money. I guess it was just because that we were finally doing what we were supposed to do.
Well, I guess that's what happens when you do what you're supposed to do and what the money follows and what you're passionate about. And sometimes, you know, we don't know what we're passionate about, so we do it for a little while. So there were a couple of types of mediumship work, and sometimes the human remains conscious, and sometimes the human isn't conscious. So are you both conscious when you're doing this?
It's not unconscious mediumship. It's a light trance. I wouldn't say I'm completely conscious because a lot of things happen when I'm doing the mediumship, like things will come out of my mouth that I didn't intend to say. I was thinking I'd say this and another word or two entirely different words come out of my mouth. I think, well, that was weird. And I find myself doing things. I'll give an example. In front of a group, I was holding a microphone with a cord on it, and I started untwirling the cord.
Well, you just sort of stopped.
I just stopped talking to this lady who I was talking to her husband, and this is just a little example of the kind of things that happen when I'm doing my work. So I was talking to her husband, who was deceased, and she was in the audience, and I was saying this and that to her, and suddenly I just stopped talking and started untwirling the cord on the mic.
Untwisting.
You know, it was all twisted up, and I just had to straighten this cord out. It was just really bizarre, and I was thinking to myself, God, this must look ridiculous. I feel ridiculous. What are you doing? I said to him. Oh, I just got to straighten it out, he said. I said, have you got OCD? Are you like Mr. Monk? He said, he wouldn't answer me, but I knew that's what was going on with him. I said to his wife, your husband has OCD, doesn't he? He's like Mr. Monk. Yes, she said.
Yeah, well, you know, I've experienced that, like doing movements when I do some mediumship work. I do movements that the people did when they were alive.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like
exactly.
When the mothers twirled her hair all the time when she was nervous, and I've twirled my hair, and another person twiddled their thumbs, and another person bit their fingernails, and I'm not really conscious of, I don't make the choice I'm going to bite my nail, it just happens.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, it's the sort of thing that I'm usually unaware of, though. It'll be something like somebody will say to me, like one night in a group, I was very animated with my hands. And one of the gals in the audience said, you're signing. And I said, I kind of did a double take and said, what? What do you mean I'm signing? She said, you're signing everything. Sign language. I said, I don't think so. She said, yes, you are. I know sign language, and you've been signing everything you've been saying for the last hour. I was in disbelief. I said, that's crazy. I said, I don't know sign language. And there were two other people in the audience, and they said the same thing. They said, yeah, we've been watching you. You've been signing everything you've been saying for the last hour.
Well, that's really interesting how the spirit world can convey into our brains, pictures, words to say, things to do and be. And people ask me, how did you get this? How did you get to be able to do this? And I'm going to ask you the same. What is it that you think sparked your ability, Michael and Marty, to be able to do this?
Well, really in my teens, I was very interested in metaphysical things. And when I was 19, around there, I met a yogi, and he was a medium. And he could go into a somatic trance, a deep trance, where he would leave his body, and he could do it in less than a minute. And so I learned a lot about moving energy, and, you know, I was able to, within a few weeks, lose conscious feeling of my body when I was meditating. So I could do lots of things quite early on. And he was a medium, but he was so far advanced that he didn't talk to relatives much anymore. He would do it for people around him. He would, like, if somebody needed to find out who their spirit guide was, he'd find out for them and tell them everything about them, and things like that. But I never saw him do the kind of thing I do, because he'd gone past that many, many decades earlier. You know, he used to do all that stuff as a young man. So I never sort of appreciated the impact it had on ordinary people. You know what I mean? Because I knew about mediumship, I knew about spiritualists, but I was just busy doing other things with this man, and more metaphysical things. And so it just sort of never occurred to me that, you know, I did healing, I did hands-on healing. I did that quite a lot for years, and had some very powerful results with it. But I suppose what threw me off was this this medium told me I'd be a psychic healer. And I think I completely misunderstood what he meant. I thought he meant, like the Filipino guys, the psychic surgeons.
Oh, the psychic surgeons, yeah.
Yeah, I think I thought that's what he meant. And because I was doing healing, so I thought, oh, I'll progress to that, and I'll do that, you know. But that's, I realized later, when I got into doing this, that this was actually what he meant, because it is psychic healing. It's healing on a deep mental level, it heals people, like, on a deep emotional level, and it heals them psychically. And so I realized that that's what the spirit people had meant. You know, I mean, there are doctors that have come and told me about what's going on with people, completely diagnosed them for me and told them, you know, the cause of their condition and all sorts of things like that. So that it, to me, I view it as a healing process. The whole thing is a healing process. And because we don't know who the clients are and what's going on with them, it's sort of a revelation and a journey, you know. We don't know if there's anything wrong with them, and somebody over there might say, oh, by the way, they've got a problem, you know, this, this, and this. And I say, do you? And they say, yeah, I do. And I'll say, well, let's see if we can find out a bit more about it. And a doctor might show up and say this, this, and this, you know. So it gets really interesting.
I think it's a tremendous amount of healing. Sometimes people just never got to say goodbye. They never got to feel that complete cycle with a person, and in doing a service like this, that it completes something for them. You
yeah.
know, and it lets their heart move on to a whole love for and gratitude for other places and spaces and people on planet Earth. So I think it's a very important, and you know, it's probably sometimes not knowing what the problem is. You know, people come to me and say, Star, I want to lose 100 pounds. And I say, well, we got to work on your sexual abuse first. Then we'll work on the weight. You know,
yes.
Sometimes
yes.
people
exactly.
think they want something. And what
right.
they need will show up, you know, through the mediumship, through the healer. And they need to do that because 16 other dysfunctions in their lives are based on that.
Yes, you're right. That's exactly it. You see, that's why I don't really... I'll actually get quite annoyed if somebody tries to tell me why they're coming to see us. It really irritates me because I know that when the people show up, the spirit people have the
first word.
They know what's going on with the person. They're the ones that are going to address whatever's going on or speak about whatever they think best for that person.
They have their own agenda.
You know, they've got their own agenda, and it has nothing to do, in a way, with the person here. They think, like you said, oh, I'm going to come and find out this, that, and the other, and then Auntie Lily or Uncle Fred shows up and says, oh, by the way, this is what we think is most important for you, you know.
We also get a lot of skeptics. I would say probably at least half our people are skeptical when they come to see us. And the change in them is so dramatic. Blows their world, to say the least.
Absolutely.
And they just, you know.
And people are praying for change in their life, and they're praying for transformation. And then all of a sudden, they see the picture that you've drawn or hear the words, and it just blows every belief system out of their body. And then they get to replace those. And that's why their life was dysfunctional, because their belief system wasn't equal to who their vibration is. And that's why they're coming for help, is because they know that there's something else out there, and they know they don't get it, and they can be the biggest skeptic, but somehow they got in front of you or they got in front of me, and somehow that changes them, and whatever information they got changes them. I've got to add, I've had a couple of strange, funny things happen. A guy came with his wife, and they said, well, we want to talk to, you know, so-and-so. And anyway, that so-and-so didn't show up. The father of the man showed up, and he said, why did you steal $100,000 from your company? And the wife's sitting there, and you could see her go through, like, seven shades of red. And he was like, but, I'll put it back, you know? And, I mean, I've had a couple of situations that were, I mean, I was just at a loss. And, you know, later they're funny, but when they're happening, they're not so funny. Have you had any of those situations that were, like, just, whoa? Are you there? Okay, while we're trying to get him back, we'll come to the half-hour commercial.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
I'm with Michael and Marty Perry at spiritart.com. They are our mediums. Are you there?
Yes.
Great. Yes. I was asking you earlier before the commercial break, have you had any situations that were just like funny, strange, weird when you've done some of your sessions?
Oh, gosh, a lot. we've had a lot of funny things. Funny like... You mean like funny people coming through?
What, I mean, just something that's notable. Talk about a boom.
Oh, gosh.
I like my Chinese version.
Yeah. My wife likes this little story. We had a couple come see us, a regular Caucasian couple, and I found out through the spirit people that he was some sort of policeman. Well, he was an FBI agent. And I said to him, oh, you're here because you think I'm scamming your wife. And he said, yes. So my wife drew a Chinese guy for him, Fu Manchu, bald head, little oriental guy. And we gave him the picture, and I joked, and I said, well, he's obviously not a relative. And so I told him who the man was. I said, he's somebody you knew in prison. He's here to say thank you to you, because apparently you tried to help him. And you were kind of friends, I said, and blah, blah, blah. He died in prison. And he's just come, like I said, to say thank you to you and to thank you for kind of being his friend and trying to help him. And his name is, and I said his name, and he said to me, that is the name of this man that I knew in prison, he said, who died. And I was trying to help him in prison. And so he now has that on his desk where he works in the FBI. He put it in a frame, and the people in the that he works with know who the guy in the picture is, because they've said to him, where did you get the picture of such and such from? And he won't tell
them. So he has to tell the story every time, and they're probably all blown out of the water.
Well, I don't know if he's told them, because he's kind of kept it quiet, I think. He might have told one or two of them, but... I did do a session with him after that, and it all had to do with, I thought there was going to be an assassination to do with the president, and I called him up because I was worried about it, and we did a session, and they gave me all the information to do with the assassination of Osama bin Laden, which took place the following Sunday. And I told him on Wednesday that there was going to be an assassination It would be more than one assassin, a single shooter, blah, blah, blah. It would take place between 3 and 3:30 this Sunday coming. Well, that's the exact time President Obama had Osama bin Laden assassinated.
That's real good.
I did that with him, you know, because he was now a believer after what Marty did to him.
And he had a connection so that he was able to get that information to the Secret Service, who had connection with the people that are around Obama. So afterwards he said, don't be surprised if the Secret Service calls you. He said they were very, very impressed.
Now, I had an opportunity back in 1990 to work, maybe it was 89, for the National Bureau of Missing Children. So they would, the FBI, they would fax me, at that point in time there were faxes, maybe 24 pictures of children and et cetera, et cetera. And I got real good at that. In fact, the FBI would call me if there was something up there, and they'd say, well, you know, we're real interested in number 7. And I go, number 7 what? And they go, fax number 7 we sent you. And I'm going, well, you know, I'd have to find the fax, and I would say what I did. And I only could handle about a year of that, you know, with finding dead children and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It was pretty intense. So
yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of heavy, isn't it?
It really, and it was great. You know, I'd send somebody. Well, she's in the next town, and she's at the hotel that has a duck next to it, and she's with some, you know, one of her older brother's friends, and they go and they go to the hotel and they find the girl. You know, there were moments like that. You know, would really warm me up to the spirits talking to me and how wonderful it was to do that. But that was really, really one of the toughest assignments I've done. So tell me about your sessions.
Our
private sessions?
You mean when we do groups or when we do
both. Tell me so my listeners know. How can they get a session? How can they see get Spirit Art at spiritart.com under the portfolio? How can they get a piece of this in their life?
Well, we advertise.
Actually, all the information is on the website, and if they want to have information of where we are every month on our website, there's a place to join our email newsletter, which I send out a newsletter about once a month saying all the different places that we're going to be at. That's the best way to find out.
And you do travel to the East Coast in Mid-America, or are you mostly on the West Coast there?
Mostly on the West Coast. We have done a few things around the country, but lately it's been mostly on the West Coast. We did one thing recently in Minnesota, but not a lot right now.
Well, that's good to know, and it's good to know that your phone number is on spiritart.com and that there is a whole prices and info section where you can find out about having a session with Michael and Marty Perry. I have not seen anything like this. I'm 76 years old. I've been doing this work since the 50s, and I have not seen anything so mind-bogglingly accurate as Marty's drawings of the people compared to the pictures that they had later. It does. And I have seen a lot of strange things.
They also may want to look on there, too, because we've posted some videos of the different TV shows that we've been on, plus some snippets of group sessions that we've done, just to get an idea of how we work.
Yeah, well, I shall be posting some more little...
Well, maybe we'll have you here in Hot Springs next year. I live in a geodesic dome that seats 200 or 300 people at the church, and occasionally we have people, and people come from Dallas and Memphis and Little Rock, and that would be very interesting to have you. But you do small groups, right?
We can do any size.
No, we don't necessarily do small groups. It's just that the places that we have can usually only handle maybe 50 people. Then it's just not big enough.
But we have done groups of over 100. I actually love the really large groups. There's just so much energy that
I love them, too, and there are so much excitement and so many people wanting to learn things, and then you get your skeptics, and somehow they just manage to sit all in almost one section, you know, way at the back, because if they get too close to you, they might catch something, you know.
Star?
Yeah?
Okay, ready when you are.
I'm ready.
I guess the call is.
Yeah, he's talking to them right now.
Hey, Ellen, you're on.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry to interrupt. It was such a fascinating interview. And your guests, I just looked at their website. It is fascinating. So thank you for having them on. Are you doing readings tonight? If not, I don't want to interrupt you. I really
don't.
Well,
yes, we will answer one question, and be careful how you phrase it. So what would you like to know, sweetie?
No, we don't really do readings on the radio.
Well,
yes.
I can answer the question. What would you like to know, sweetie?
Star, do you see me moving in the near future? I really would like to, but a couple of things have held me back from moving forward.
Well, of course you're moving in the near future, but you keep doing one thing over and over again. You keep doing wait and see, wait and see. What if this happens and I'm going to move? Wait and see. And somehow your action steps just don't go past step two. So if you're choosing to move and making that decision in your life, then you must have a list of action steps and you must complete them. If not, you can stay stuck where you were for the next 2 years. So what do you choose to do? Do you choose to move? Yes.
I would like to move, but it's got to come after a new job where I earn more money. And I guess that's why you see me stuck, because I haven't found that new job with more money.
So the question wasn't about moving. The question was about a job with more money. So pay attention, because what you want will only happen after your needs are met. So you need to focus on what you need. Take your action steps. So I would say from my psychic reading, from your spirit guide standing here talking to my spirit guide, that the new job will be open to you between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you will possibly start in January. Okay?
Great.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you, Star.
You're welcome. I'm sorry to leave you two out on that, but you said you don't do now time stuff, so I just handle it. And I'm glad to have Michael and Marty Perry, and go to spiritart.com and look at the portfolio and understand that they didn't get to see these pictures till after they did the session. It is amazing. Have you ever done any findings?
Findings?
Finding is when somebody's died and somebody's left something, like somebody buried their gold or buried some money or hid some money in a house, and you talk to the spirit, and the spirit will lead you to wherever.
Yeah. Yes, that's come up. You know, people have told me where they've not often. It doesn't often come up, but sometimes it has.
Okay.
You know,
I'm back.
Okay, how are we doing, Mark? Do we have somebody else?
You guys are throwing so much energy around tonight. It's amazing. The switchboard keeps on taking people on and off the lines and keeps on hanging up calls, including it just knocked me off the line.
They weren't humans. They weren't humans who were calling. You know that, right?
Well, it's not even that. It's the switchboard itself is just out of control tonight.
Well, thank you very, very much. Michael and Marty, tell me what you need, what our listeners need to hear, what you believe that is the most important thing for spiritual people out there who are working on their raising their vibration and everything. What do they need to hear right now?
Well, I think people need to pull together and cooperate. You know, I find in the spiritual movement a lot of people always concerned about themselves, and I think it's better if people pull together within like a group unit towards some goal.
Now work together.
You know, working together in some unselfish. Towards some unselfish end. You see, my personal belief on development is that if you put out the energy in spiritual work, I was never concerned about psychic development. My teacher would say that will just come of its own accord. It wasn't something I sought out, you see. I didn't seek out to be like this great medium or anything like that. I would just do a lot of prayer work, a lot of healing on people, and just use all my energy toward a goal. And all these things, in the East they call them the cities or powers, they just come naturally when you're developing yourself spiritually. But you really shouldn't seek them out, because you can get sidetracked that way, and it really is, you know, if you're doing the right work, abilities come naturally and in a balanced way. Some people, you know, they want to do this and they want to do that, but usually that's the ego can be involved there, and also, you know, it can hold up your development. I mean, So I would say unselfishness, work towards a spiritual goal with others, because we're all more powerful as a group than we are on our own, and just do things for mankind in service. That's karma yoga, and that's really what is called for today, is karma yoga. I don't think there's time for people to develop to be this, that, or the other, like a master or an adept, you know, and then they'll help the world. I just don't think that's possible. I think that there's not enough time left for that. I think that people should just go out and do whatever they can do. My teacher had a saying. He said, a man blind in one eye can lead a man blind in two eyes across a road. Because people would say to him, well, don't you have to be at a certain level in order to help people? Well, you do and you don't. Like he said, a man blind in one eye can lead a man blind in two eyes across a road. You don't have to be perfect to help other people.
Well, I also think it's really important to do common unity or community work. And people want to come and they want to spend 24 hours and 3 days studying metaphysics, but I say, okay, we're going to the food bank and we're going to help them put food on the shelves. And they look at me and then go, well, I'm not paying here to go to the food bank. But yes, we're going to pick up trash on the road today. And they're going, but that's, I'm paying for spiritual development. And I say, you have to have a practice. And you have to commit and do things in the material plane. You cannot sit there and do affirmations for the rest of your life without participating in the community, which you give what you want to get. You want to get help. You want to feed the people. You want to be spiritually fed. You want to help the children get educated. You want to become educated. You have to give what you want to get. And many people do this in the spiritual world, and many people just think studying is the end-all and be-all to it, and it is not. You must be active on the material plane, and you must give what you want to receive. If you want education, you give it. If you want to be fed, you feed the people. And there is more of this consciousness that needs to be there, that it's just as spiritual to pick up the trash on a mile of a road as it is to sit and chant for an hour.
Yes, it's all one's motive and one's attitude toward the work. You're right.
And it's important. Marty, you're being awful quiet right now. What would you like to say to my listening audience except visit your website at spiritart.com? What would you like to say?
I was just thinking when we were having so many electronic problems that we've had that often. We've almost every radio show that we've been on, they've had problems with their equipment. We've had times, there was one time where we were doing a private session for just a few people, and they had a video camera set up. They had two video cameras set up. We had one set up.
Three
digital recorders.
And they were dead.
And within 5 minutes, all of them were dead. All the batteries were dead.
I'm remembering the days of the cassettes and taping every session, and one-tenth of my people would say, oh, my God, I got home and there was nothing on my tape. And I could see, you know, the red light going up and down when it was recording the voice. And I always just used to say, if spirit wants you to have it in that second, then that's what you're going to have. And if spirit wants you to have it on some type of recorded media, then you'll have it that way. And in spirit, you know, spirit works in many, many different ways. And sometimes what seems like a common everyday occurrence is an act of spirit. And it's important to become conscious and aware. Well, Michael and Marty, I'm really impressed with your work. Your prices are reasonable. Your artwork is great. I'm going to watch the videos. And I see, Michael, you contributed to a book. Is that correct, or wrote it?
No, I didn't write it, but I did We did 23 sessions with this lady with an autistic son. And so it is about mediumship because she put a lot of verbatim stuff in there. And it and then she did research after the sessions to see if the spirit people, if it backed up what the spirit people said. And so she basically turned it into a book. So it's called The Other Side of Autism.
Well, that's interesting, and we will be looking forward to participating in that. I want to thank you very much for being here this evening, Michael and Marty Perry at spiritart.com. And I want to remind everybody to participate with me. Go to my website, listen to my radio show, read one of my many books, and play with many of my video classes. Thank you for joining us.
And thank you.
Thank you, Star. Thanks.
All right. Good evening.
Good evening.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.